From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, November 21st, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started officially with
the Daily Datagram.
Yep. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call, and it's kind of an unusual one, but it's true. It says, life is like an onion. You peel it off layer by layer, and sometimes you cry. Yeah. And other times, you just don't smell all that good. Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
Oh, boy.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Counting on it.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Yeah.
Just the same, you need to know your twisted history.
Well, so be it.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. Sure you will. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1877, Thomas Edison announced the invention of the phonograph, a machine that could record and play back sound. Unfortunately for him, there were no record labels back then. Explain this. If the result of a telegraph is a telegram, why isn't the result of a phonograph a phonogram? Huh? I mean, the only reason I ask is because vinyl records are back big time. You see that? You've been in a Walmart lately and seen how many different vinyl albums are? Boy, they just have that sound that everybody likes, right? And it was on this day in 1959, speaking of records, disc jockey Alan Freed, who had coined the term rock and roll, was fired from WABC in New York over allegations that he had participated in the payola scandal. Well, the fact is he did, but he wasn't willing to sign a document admitting to it. And that's what got him fired.
You're fired.
You might remember my having said in the past that I wouldn't put a Trump bumper sticker or window sticker on my car because I was afraid the car would get vandalized. And I love my car. I'm doing everything I can to keep this car indefinitely, perhaps even for the rest of my life, because I really love this car. And, you know, that was the sentiment of a lot of people. A lot of people would not put signs in their yards or carry any kind of messaging on their vehicles regarding their support for Donald Trump in this campaign. They were just fearful because we all know that when it comes to the left, you see the worst in behavior, in human behavior. People on the left are naturally angry and violent. And I think a lot of that becomes the case due to their mentality. And I don't mean this as a slam. I mean this in the context of psychology. People on the left are generally more emotional. We've known this for years, right? The difference between a conservative and a liberal. And I don't want to use the word liberal because I think conservatives are the real liberals. We believe in freedom of speech. We believe in abolishing racism. So the real liberals are on the right, not the left. The people on the left are little tyrants. But they're also immature. From a psychological standpoint, people on the left have a tendency toward more violence, less tolerance. You get the idea. So during the campaigning period, particularly this campaign, given the behavior of the Democrats and the lefties over the last 4 years, a lot of people just didn't show their support for Donald Trump. There were a few courageous people in Hollywood who came forward. I don't think it did their careers much good, but I don't think they cared. You know, I mean, think about it, really. Would you be comfortable working in a community where people are hostile toward you and your job could be threatened on any given day because of your supportive of a certain political candidate in America? I mean, I could see this maybe being the case in communist countries or socialist countries. But here in the United States, well, I guess it does kind of stand to reason because we do have the First Amendment. And the First Amendment is there for people who are good people and people who are bad people. Okay. And I'm not saying all lefties are bad people, but come on. So there was a news report yesterday morning on our news talk station in Houston, our big one, KTRH. And Corey Olson was the reporter. And I want to read from their website the story. It says here, after 8 years of being attacked and maligned, treated like second-class citizens, and even targeted by federal agencies, Trump supporters finally feel liberated. Donald Trump's decisive election victory has launched what some are calling the coming out party for Trump supporters. Residents in blue cities report seeing an increase in Trump yard signs and Trump hats since Election Day. Trump got a conquering hero's at last. Got a conquering hero's welcome. That word welcome was missing. At last weekend's UFC event at Madison Square Garden, and both college and pro football players have been doing the Trump dance celebration after touchdowns for the past few weeks. And it's true. It happened last weekend on football games all over. And the NFL was asked by the media, you know, what their stance was on these Trump dances in the end zones. And the NFL says, hey, we're cool with it. That never would have happened before the election. So this sudden turnaround is notable among political observers. And Anthony Russo, political analyst and podcast host, said this sudden turnaround is notable among political observers. You see the NFL Trump dances. You see people wearing more Trump gear. And now we're seeing people say, you know what? We're back in charge. It's like sanity and common sense is back, so why don't we actually just start to show our pride in the fact that we believe in strong borders, a good economy, and being able to have freedom of speech. And since Election Day, vocal Trump support has been coming from celebrities like Sylvester Stallone, you saw that, who introduced Trump at Mar-a-Lago last week. And you've got athletes like UFC champion John Jones, who presented Trump with a belt after Saturday's fight. And Russo says, we're seeing people of all different colors and people from different backgrounds doing this, which shows that this was never a race issue. It's just two different ideologies. And he's right. He also said, all of a sudden, people feel like no longer are we the silent majority. We are the majority, and we're actually feeling pretty good about it. And honestly, I don't think the country's felt quite like it does right now in a long time. Outside of the fringe left that's still freaking out. And I mentioned this to a friend of mine the other day. I said, I haven't felt this good since 1980 when Ronald Reagan was elected. And then again, 4 years later, when he was re-elected in a landslide. And it's just, it's very liberating, but I think it could be expected. I didn't think about this 2 weeks ago, but I think it can be expected because we're all breathing this huge collective sigh of relief. And anywhere between the two coasts and the two borders, we have this sigh of relief being breathed by just about every American now. And you're seeing photos in the news, too. I mean, I'm looking at a photo right now. And here's one where a lady is standing up in a pickup truck. She's poking through the sunroof, waving a big Trump won sign. I know it, you know it says. Trump won. I know it, you know it. And she's right in front of Trump Tower in Manhattan, driving by. Well, think about the last 4 years. The last 4 years have been miserable, and we have been plowed on a daily basis with lie after lie after lie. Now, Richard Nixon did his fair share of lying, but I have never seen, never in my many, many years, seen the kind of lying and the frequency of lying from our public officials as we all have in the last 4 years. How could you tell that Biden was lying? His lips were moving. Corinne Jean-Pierre, every single day, Her press conferences were nothing but wall-to-wall lies. And the American people saw through this. They had to have seen through it. Otherwise, the election wouldn't have been won by such a margin. Pollsters were lying. But we pretty well knew that. And this is very encouraging, too, because this signals one very important fact, and that is the American public isn't as naive as originally thought. The American public is a lot smarter than we give them credit for. So just kind of take your right arm or your left arm and reach over your shoulder and pat yourself on the back for your wisdom and your vote. Now, we have to continue the support because right now there's a battle going on. And I talked about this the other day in one of the podcasts, may have been yesterday's, where I was talking about the contingent of Democrats now who are appointing people almost like a cabinet of the losing party to counteract every single cabinet member in the Trump administration and give them hell for the next 4 years. And to that, I have only one thing to say to them. Democrats, go ahead. Keep up this reprehensible behavior. Keep it up for the next 4 years. You will never win another election again. Here we are, more than 2 weeks since the election, and I think one of the most important aspects of the election is the revelation becoming quite apparent to everybody that the legacy media, the mainstream media, is no longer relevant. They're impotent. I mean, your ABC, NBC, CBS, your CNN, MSNBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times. I mean, it's very apparent. The legacy media is absolutely positively irrelevant these days. They did a survey. I saw it on YouTube. It wasn't an official survey, but it was a guy with a microphone. And he was talking to people on the streets of Manhattan, asking them where they get their news and information. Young people. I'm talking about people under the age of 35. And to the man and woman, they all said, the internet, social media, that's where they're getting their news and information. Wow. So what does that say about the mainstream media? Let me give you an example. Back on November 4th, the day before the election, there appeared in The Atlantic, which is a real extreme left-wing rag. Oh, they package it pretty. When you see it on the newsstand, it looks like a prestigious magazine, and it used to be. But it's extremely left-wing these days, and probably not even suitable for toilet paper. But there was an article in there by someone by the name of Adam Serwer. When you scroll down to the end of the article to his little bio, it just says about the author, Adam Serwer is a staff writer at The Atlantic. That's it. And then they list other stories that he's written. Well, the headline on this particular story from November 4th reads, Trump's followers are living in a dark fantasy. Dun, 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 dun. And goes on to say, MAGA adherents deny and dismiss that they are a part of what they are a part of, but they believe Trump's lies and will support him until the end. And I just read the first paragraph here to kind of set the tone for the article. It says, at a rally just outside Atlanta in late October, thousands of Donald Trump supporters lined up in the punishing southern sun to see their hero. Some had driven hours from out of state. Vendors hawked T-shirts with slogans such as, say no to the hoe, and roses are red, Hunter smokes crack, Joe Biden has dementia, and Kamala isn't black. Sometimes chanting the phrases out loud to amused onlookers. Okay, so that's the setup for the article. I am not going to read the rest of the article because I can't. I have to subscribe in order to read it online. To hell with them. And the mangy horse they rode in on. But that kind of really summarizes the general tone of the mainstream or legacy media. They have so supported Joe Biden when he couldn't even walk up and down the stairs to Air Force One. They supported him when he would be speaking, and all of a sudden he would go blank, like his brain was buffering. And they supported him. They defended that. Oh, Joe is still sharp. Until he wasn't. And that was when Donald Trump made mincemeat out of him in that horrendous debate. Then it was very obvious that we had been lied to. We knew this, right? Come on, tell me. Did you not know that Joe Biden was senile? He was senile the day he sat down behind the Resolute desk and undid every single thing that Donald Trump had accomplished. We knew this. We spoke out about it. The problem was nobody of presumed relevance within the media listened. Nobody listened. They blindly supported Joe Biden. And if Joe Biden told his supporters to jump in the lake, they would do it. Well, then it became painfully apparent after that horrendous debate that Joe Biden was not fit to serve as president and probably never was. Let me remove that word probably. Can we edit that out? Probably. He never was. So the American people have been lied to. And this guy, Adam Serwer, over at The Atlantic, has a lot of nerve opening his article the day before the election and saying that we all believe Trump's lies. I dare say Trump probably never told the truth as much as he did from the moment since he was shot in the face. That was a different man that emerged from that rally in Butler, Pennsylvania on July 13th, believe me. And yet the lies on the left are going to continue. Now they are actively going to do what they can using lawfare, using whatever, maybe another assassination attempt to undo what Donald Trump has in mind for this country. I have a feeling that since Donald Trump had that horrendous brush with death, I have a feeling that Donald Trump is actually really concerned these days about his legacy. The legacy that he leaves for the American people. Probably more so than any president who preceded him. Something to think about. Do not take your eyes off the lefties. Do not take your eyes or your attention off of the Democrat Party. They are evil. And if you don't believe me, ask Tulsi Gabbard. I've been asked a time or two during my long life why we Texans are so proud, why we show so much proud. And when they ask me, they ask it in a friendly way. It's not like they're criticizing me or criticizing us as Texans. They're just curious. They're genuinely curious because they don't see that in the other 49 states. Well, the answer is very simple, and that is we started as our own country. We were the Republic of Texas. And we joined the country through a treaty rather than just a simple annexation. And we have the right, actually, to fly our flag at the same height as the American flag. The American flag on the left, the Texas flag on the right. And politically speaking, maybe that's very appropriate. But it's always fun to answer the question. It's very simple. We started as our own country. Now, I don't know if you're aware of the San Jacinto Monument, but it's about 18 miles east of downtown Houston in the town of La Porte. And it commemorates the site where Texas won its independence. And General Sam Houston managed to catch Santa Anna in his underwear in a battle that lasted a little more than 15 minutes. And there at the San Jacinto Battlegrounds is a monument. The tallest freestanding monument in the world. It's some, I forgot how many feet taller than the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. And I drive by this thing sometimes a couple of times a week. I can see it from I-10 when I'm heading into Houston from Liberty. And every time I've seen this monument, all my life, I just get this warm feeling inside. There's my monument. You know, that's just very symbolic of who we Texans are. So you can imagine the pride I felt when I saw this headline from Mick Farthing. And he was writing in the Patriot Journal, Texas governor makes new arrest promise, will lock up CCP operatives carrying out operations. Wow. So let me just read the article to you, okay? There's no dateline on it. I don't know when this was published, but it was within the last few days, and that's good enough for me. Mick says, while the Biden administration has turned a blind eye to the chaos at America's southern border, Texas has stepped up as a beacon of law and order. Governor Greg Abbott and his state have fiercely battled against the illegal immigration surge. He deployed resources and manpower to protect Texans from the lawlessness Democrats seem content to ignore. With millions of illegal immigrants pouring across the border under Biden's watch, Texas has held the line, refusing to let Washington's failures become its reality. Now, Texas is turning its attention to another threat, one that poses or poises to hurt Americans even more. As Democrats play politics with American safety, Governor Abbott is making it clear that Texas will not bow to foreign adversaries. The Lone Star State is taking proactive steps to root out this major threat targeting American communities, companies, and individuals. Now, in the article, Mick puts this little insert from the Daily Wire. It says, Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered law enforcement officials in his state to target and arrest criminals who were carrying out influence operations at the behest of the Chinese Communist Party or the Chinese government. The Chinese Communist Party has engaged in a worldwide harassment campaign against Chinese dissidents in attempts to forcibly return them to China. Now, that's a quote there from Governor Abbott, and that's true. I mean, I don't know if you recall this incident from a couple of years ago, but up in New York City, they had to close down a couple of Chinese police stations that were operating in Manhattan. And why were they there? They were there to find and root out Chinese dissidents on American soil and force them to go back to China. Wow. So here's a subsection in the article. It says, Abbott's bold stand against CCP harassment. Governor Abbott issued a powerful executive order directing law enforcement to confront and arrest individuals involved in influence operations linked to the Chinese government. The CCP has been running harassment campaigns globally, targeting Chinese dissidents in an attempt to force them back to China. Abbott made it clear. Texas will not allow its residents, including over 250,000 Chinese Americans legally living in the state, to be terrorized by a hostile foreign government. Ensuring the safety, welfare, and well-being of Texans is a top priority, Abbott declared. He has tasked the Texas Department of Public Safety with working alongside federal law enforcement to identify and bring charges against anyone involved in these coercive schemes. In true Texas fashion, Abbott also rolled out a hotline for residents to report suspected foreign repression because in Texas, neighbors look out for each other and they fight back against bullies. Amen to that. Abbott's order goes beyond just arrests. It's about long-term prevention. The directive includes the development of new policy recommendations to counter foreign influence operations. It's a smart move. While Biden's been playing defense, poorly we might add, Abbott is playing offense. He's building a framework to ensure Texans are protected, not just today, but in the future. Texas isn't afraid to call out the CCP for what it is, a hostile foreign adversary. The state's actions send a strong message to Beijing and to Washington. Texas will not tolerate lawlessness. And whether it comes from illegal immigration at the border or covert harassment campaigns orchestrated overseas, while Democrats flounder on issues of national security, Abbott is proving that strong leadership can and does make a difference. And then in the last section, titled Why It Matters, Mick writes, Governor Abbott's actions are a reminder of what real leadership looks like. While the left dithers, Texas delivers. Protecting American lives and freedoms should be a bipartisan priority, but until Washington gets its act together, Texas will continue to lead the charge. God bless Texas. As a kind of a postscript to the general theme of today's blogcast, which is, it's cool to be a Trump supporter now. As you know, it hasn't been a great November for Oprah Winfrey, her beloved Kamala Harris, of course, losing so badly. Not just losing, but losing badly to Donald Trump. Now, reports came out that the Harris campaign paid Oprah $1 million for their fawning town hall back in September. And Oprah denied this, but then a report came out that actually Oprah was paid $2.5 million for this town hall. Well, over the weekend, things got worse for Oprah. She found herself being trolled by a Trump train in her own Southern California neighborhood. And as the New York Post reported it, they said a cavalcade of Trump fans trolled an A-list California enclave filled with lefty celebs such as Oprah Winfrey and Meghan Markle by driving their Trump train right through it Saturday. A series of posts on X showed the succession of flag-waving, sign-holding, horn-honking cars and motorcycles traversing Coast Village Road in Montecito, defiantly blaring their support for the president-elect. The wild display was likely an unwelcome shock to the hordes of limousine liberal stars, some of the Democrats' biggest donors in the Santa Barbara suburb. Winfrey, Markle, and hubby Prince Harry, as well as bold-faced names such as Ellen DeGeneres, Gwyneth Paltrow, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Ariana Grande, Rob Lowe, Katy Perry, and Orlando Bloom called the Southern California paradise home. And I'm going to come to the defense of Rob Lowe. I think he's a closet conservative. Just wanted to throw that in there, but isn't it great? Look out. John Branion is back in the Comedy Corner.
I was knocking around online a little while back, and I found a town in Arkansas. In Arkansas. Name of the town is spelled F-L-I-P-P-I-N. I would move there. Everything's funny at that point. Hey, I'm John, and I'm from flippin' Arkansas. Family and I are at the Flippin' Church of Christ every Sunday morning. Graduated from Flippin' High School. There's my Flippin' diploma. Go Birds. I don't know what they're called. I have no idea what they're called. We can agree if it's anything other than birds, that is a huge mistake, isn't it? That's a missed opportunity. You can go to their flipping website. It's a real place. It exists. And you will discover that they have no idea that they're hilarious. It's sad. Their website is full of information about their Board of Education, their Chamber of Commerce, right? There's a picture of a squad car on the website. It says on the side of the car, flipping police. That? How do they keep a straight face in emergency? Somebody call the flipping cops! Robbing the flipping bank. But you gotta see it in yourself. That's the thing. You can't, it's okay to make fun of other people, but you gotta see it in yourself first and then share it with other people. All right, some of you who live indoors will relate to this. You know how when you live indoors and you hear a sound in the middle of the night and you're not sure the source of that sound, it kind of freaks you out? A couple of weeks ago, it's 3 o'clock in the morning at my house, and I hear this whistling coming from somewhere in the house. So I nudge my wife to ask her to go look for it. But she wouldn't go because she's asleep and she's pretty selfish when she's unconscious. And so I had to go all by myself. So I'm trying to find it just using auditory signals. And then when I got close, it sounded like it was moving. So I'm chasing it around in the dark for like 10 minutes. And then I finally realize it's this nostril.
You didn't see that coming, did you? Have a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.